Yeah, I really don't know. This is a really difficult conundrum.
Hello and welcome to the Super Bayern podcast. Almost every Bayern Munich fan's worst nightmare became a reality yesterday when the club announced that star striker Robert Lewandowski will be out for about 4 weeks after suffering a knee injury picked up while with the Poland national team. Not only is this terrible news for the club, but it's come at just about the worst possible timing, with a tight Bundesliga race coming down to the wire and as they're getting into the later knockout stages of the Champions League. I'm Benjamin Scott, and joining me for this emergency episode of the Super Bayern podcast are my friends Tim Richards.
Hello there.
And Sebastian Zimmerman.
Hi.
Well, there's really just one thing on the plate for us to discuss today, and that is the news that Robert Lewandowski is going to be out for about a month after suffering a knee injury with the Poland national team. And to when the announcement was made yesterday from the club, it was pretty much unanimously met with nothing but sorrow from Bayern fans. There's a lot of people very unhappy, a lot of people thinking that this is basically the worst possible news that the club could put out. So, Tim, I do want to ask the question, do you think a lot of Bayern fans, a lot of even non-Bayern fans, kind of from the outside looking in, are overreacting to this news? Or do you really think it is as big of a deal as people are making it out to be for the Bavarians?
It's certainly a mixture of both, I think, in my opinion anyway. Never one to sit on the fence. I think it is kind of a bit of both. I think this is certainly a big problem. I think I saw a statistic that Lewandowski scored like over 50% of our goals this season, like in all competitions. Obviously, he's been in fantastic form in the league, but obviously there's so much more to that because we've got Paris in the Champions League, Paris Saint-Germain in the Champions League. You know, thankfully we don't have the DFB Cup to worry about, so that's useful. That's one less competition to be fearful of. If we don't have Lewandowski, are we going to get knocked out of the cup? Too late, already happened. And I think that's that kind of that match against Holstein Kiel, that is what I keep coming back to, because Lewandowski didn't start in that game. I think so. Serge Gnabry started up front, and that looks to be the kind of like everybody's go-to solution for the game against PSG. I think people are less worried about the game against Leipzig because obviously that's a game that Bayern can potentially afford to lose and still do well in the league. Obviously, if you lose against PSG, that's a different story. I think people's assumption that assumption's maybe not the right word, but I think this belief that everything will be fine. You'll put Serge Gnabry up top, like he's done well for Germany. That seems to be the consensus that I'm seeing at the moment. Is people are okay with it as long as, like, because Serge Gnabry's done so well for Germany. I think the way that Bayern and Germany play are two completely different teams. And in my opinion, whenever Serge Gnabry's played up front for Bayern by himself, it's really not been that good. The attack, like as a whole, I don't want to pin it entirely on him. The attack as a whole seems to struggle. There doesn't really seem to be much creativity. And I think the combination of like Marquinhos and Kimpembe, which I think is probably going to be the partnership that Bayern will be facing, is going to not have many difficulties going up against somebody like Gnabry or potentially Choupo-Moting, as it would do against this Lewandowski. It's a big shame. I think there are ways around it, but I think the way around it is, you know, potentially finding a new tactical approach. I think it isn't going to be as simple as, okay, well, we've lost one striker, we'll put Choupo-Moting up top and just the game plan will be exactly the same. I think this raises questions about a number of things, like have Bayern been too reliant on this one guy for a couple of seasons? Like what sort of impact can the other guys have? Like, is it time for Sané to step up? Is Müller going to be capable of leading the line by himself? Like, it's a very complicated situation. It isn't as simple as we're missing our guy. I feel like Lewandowski is like a very special situation here, because if we were to be missing Josu Kimmich, I feel like there would be some, I guess, panic, for want of a better term. But you know that there are players that can do like a similar job to what he can do. You know, Mark Rocker hasn't been fantastic, but at times he has been, you know, good enough to play. So I think, you know, if Kimmich was to be missing this game, then Rocker could step in, or potentially Tolisso if he was back in time. I actually don't think he will be. But there are players that can fit in. Lewandowski is such a specialist in that position that I think this was probably one of the worst things that could have happened at the worst possible time. But I would like to be cautiously optimistic and think that there is a way around it.
Cautiously optimistic is sort of the theme for some of us on this podcast. And you brought up a lot of stuff that we're going to talk to in the coming minutes. But before we address those things, such as, you know, how does Bayern or Hansi Flick, how does he respond to this? I want to hear your thoughts, Sebastian, because obviously you are a little bit less of a Lewandowski fan than the others of us on this podcast. So I'm wondering, what's your take? You know, how are you feeling?
I think first and foremost, I want to stress here that when you said that he's probably not as easy to be replaced as other people would be, I want to really emphasize that this is not like a God-given thing. This is not just by nature. I feel like this is because he's just the player we have the worst replacement for, which is the part that I hate the most about this, because I'm not going to pretend that that there's not a part of me that is kind of happy that Gerd Müller is probably going to keep his record. I think I said it earlier this week that the thing I would really like is if Lewandowski gets the 40, but not more. Then that would be nice. That would be some kind of, that would be a bit poetic, if you will. I think that would be fair. That would do both of those really great players justice, I feel. So I don't want to be unfair here. Because I'm obviously not happy when somebody gets injured or anything, and I would not even have been happy in the theoretical situation that I want to point out. I think it would have been way better for us if this would have happened at a different time, because this is really not the right time for this. We could very well lose to PSG. We could lose this important game against Leipzig. This is really the worst thing about this for me. Obviously, for the player as a person, this is always very, very bad, of course. And I really don't want to take this away or anything. I just feel like the club just is not in the right mindset regarding this striker position. I was really concerned when people talked about how much they like Erik-Maxime Choupo-Moting, because I feel he's not giving us enough. We would not be happy with this performance on any other position on the field, really. If we had a backup who's not good enough, and I think he has often not been good enough, we would not say, yeah, but he's such a great guy, we're really happy to have him, we really want to give him a new contract. I think this is not coming from the right mindset, and this is what I, from a club perspective, what I find the most concerning. And this is not the right time to learn this, I feel. Maybe we're going to learn this now, but if we're going to learn this now, we're going to learn it the hard way. And I would really appreciate if we wouldn't have to, but I feel like we might have to here. Because, yeah, this just takes away so many options. We can, if we are going to play Müller or Gnabry or someone on the nine, this is just very, very, a very, very special kind of offense you're going to have to play. Then you just lack a lot of these possibilities. You lack a lot of things you might want to do in such an important game against such a strong team. And this is, yeah, what really frustrates me there. And yeah, so I'm definitely not happy, but yeah, I will gladly concede that I'm not as unhappy as other people are, I suppose, because I'm definitely happy that he's probably not going to get those 40 goals, or not more than those 40 goals, even if this is just not the most important thing. Obviously, for me, it's more important that Bayern does well. And I think in that respect, yeah, I'm also definitely on board. I'm not quite happy about this, of course.
I guess there's probably a small group of fans, sort of like you, Sebastian, where this is almost kind of like an I told you so type of moment, where, you know, you've been calling for a decent, you know, more than decent, legitimate backup to Robert Lewandowski for some time, whereas the club's approach has always been, the man's never injured, so why should we have a backup? And if you look at the stats, I guess I can understand both sides, because since 2014, which is when Robert Lewandowski joined the club, he still hasn't even missed more than 10 games because of injury. Now, that's going to change in the next coming weeks, but that just speaks to some incredible longevity and some incredible, it's just an incredible statistic overall that shows how fit he truly is. Now, there is some sort of cruelty in the fact that when he is finally injured, it's at just about the most important phase of the season for Bayern Munich. And so it's easy to see, I guess, both sides of the argument here. Personally, I think I can relate a little bit more with Tim. I'm cautiously optimistic. I think Hansi Flick can find a way to minimize the impact of Robert Lewandowski being injured. But I'm not going to try and dance around the fact that this is the single player that Bayern, you know, least wanted to get injured. Even with Manuel Neuer, I think, you know, the difference between Alexander Nubo and Manuel Neuer is lesser than the difference between Robert Lewandowski and anyone who replaces him, because he is, at the moment, the best footballer in the world, easily the best striker, the best goal scorer in the world. And I mean, when that's the case, it's obviously going to hurt the team whenever he's not present. Now, Tim, earlier you talked a little bit about the potential solution to this Lewandowski question. You know, how does Bayern Munich approach the next 4, 5, 6 games, however it may be, without Robert Lewandowski? And it really seems like there's sort of two approaches. You either try to play the more traditional Bayern route, you know, and just take out Lewandowski, put in Erik-Maxim Choupo-Moting, or you go with, and you brought this up, a more fluid approach, sort of like the German national team with Serge Gnabry up front, maybe Thomas Müller playing as more of an 8 than a 10, with Sané and Koeman on the wings, playing this really fast, fluid, transitional sort of attacking football. Which approach do you think is the best one for Bayern to go with over the next few weeks? Or maybe you have some sort of outside-of-the-box approach to how this can be solved.
Yeah, I really don't know. This is a really difficult conundrum, because I completely agree with Sebastian. Like, the drop-off between Bayern's star striker and their backup is monumental. I realized that this summer wasn't a good time to buy players. And, you know, I think you can make the argument, oh, they're doing the best they can. I completely disagree with that, though, because, you know, Frankfurt got Luka Jovic back on loan. I think he's my tip for the guy that to potentially take over from Lewandowski. I think I've said that before, you know, if the whole Haaland thing doesn't work out. So I think if I was to hazard a guess, I would say that Hansi Flick is going to stick with the thing that he has done since day one. But instead of Lewandowski, he will have Choupo-Moting up top. Now, I don't think that's good enough. I don't think that he's really done. He's such a complicated individual, because he's clearly so highly rated by top managers, but for some reason, no fan can see what it is that he can offer. Like, oh, well, you know, his work rate's good. Okay, cool. Like, that doesn't really, that, like, how much can that really amount to? I think I was very impressed with guys like Sandro Wagner for their work rate, but he also managed to back it up by, you know, offering a great deal in attack. Like, he was there to score, like, he could score a goal. He was good in the air. He was great hold up play. I can't really see what Choupo-Moting can offer in that regard. But I think that is going to be the thing that is chosen. It will be the same 4-2-3-1 that Bayern always play, and it will just be the other big guy up top. In an ideal world, I would love to see Hansi Flick try something new. I think I wrote this down a while ago, earlier this afternoon, on Reddit, saying that, you know, I would love to see, I'm completely fine with Bayern getting knocked out of the Champions League. I'm completely fine losing to Leipzig. I'm completely fine with Bayern potentially going without a trophy this season. Like, I realize that that's probably, you know, it's not likely to happen, but it certainly could do. And if it does, that's okay. What I wouldn't be okay with is if all of those things happen despite doing the exact same thing over and over and over again. Like, so by that, I mean, I'm okay with losing these games if he at least tries something different. So as you suggested, maybe have Müller playing slightly withdrawn, maybe as an eight, and then you have a very fluid front three of, you know, Coman, Sané, and Gnabry through the middle, potentially. I'm okay with that. Maybe even like a fairly conventional 4-4-2, where you have Gnabry playing off of Choupo-Moting, you have Müller out wide to, you know, maybe offer more of like a slightly more playmaking approach to that role rather than goals from out wide. I really don't know. I've got no idea what this could be. There doesn't seem to be any, I guess, like logical solution, because it comes back to that argument that Sebastian brought up. The backup simply is not good enough. And the whole thing of like, oh, potentially getting an extension. Why? I can't, I don't know. Maybe I'm just being very cynical, but I feel like if you want to get an extension and you're over 30 at Bayern, you need to be offering more than, oh, he's really good for like team morale. Like, everybody likes him. Great. Maybe people will get on well with me. Give me an extension. I would more than happily fill in the role of like team mascot and be like, oh, hey, Josh, how's it going? Oh, Leon, you're looking good. Like, if they need somebody to do that, my wage would be significantly lower than Choupo-Moting's, I imagine. Although I've got a feeling that his is probably on the lower end of the players. But regardless, he hasn't delivered on the pitch enough for me to think, now we're in safe hands here. I really don't know what's going to happen. Well, no, I have a rough idea of what's going to happen. I don't think that is going to be enough against PSG. I really don't. And it's a huge shame. It's a massive shame.
Sebastian, given the way that you've talked about Erik-Maxim Choupo-Moting in the past and even a little bit today, I assume that, like me, you think that the best approach is going to be Gnabry at the nine with Coman and Sané on the wings, no?
Yeah, kind of, yeah. I think Gnabry is kind of your replacement I would want to use, because as we have, as we all agree, I believe, Choupo-Moting is just hasn't shown us enough. I still think he's not shown us as much as Sergei had before him. So this is just not enough for me. Gnabry could definitely be someone who is filling that void in terms of scoring goals, in terms of some presence up there. But obviously, he's physically is a different player than Lewandowski is, and his play style is different, and so on. I think what I would kind of prefer is more like we've been talking about how the system is kind of a 4-2-4, and I guess I would maybe lean on that a little bit more. I think, if you want to play this, I think Müller and Gnabry are going to have to change places a bit more. You're mm-hmm. going to have to be more fluid, because if you just stick Gnabry up there, this is obviously not going to do much. He's just as Lewandowski's position, he's just going to be way worse. He probably even worse than Choupo-Moting, if he's just going to try to emulate what Lewandowski is doing. So this is obviously not going to work. And this is also a bit concerning, because the most important of those games, or two of those most important games, are kind of right around the corner. Mm-hmm. And you kind of have to train that. You have to do something in training about that if you're going to change the system. And this is what I find a bit scary here, because obviously it's way more simple to just put Choupo-Moting in there and say, okay, now we can play the same kind of football we have always played. And if you're going to put Gnabry in there, you just have to change the system in some places. And yeah, I just don't know if we have that time. I think it is pretty risky to change the system like that in like a week or something. It's even a week. No, it's not, right? No. Oh, it's three. It's three days actually. Yeah. Okay. So the second game is in a week. I just don't know. We have the time to do that or to perfect that at all. This is what I don't like about this. But yeah, I think it's still worth trying that, because even if it's kind of just halfway, it's probably going to be better than what Chupamoting is going to do. But more than ever, I'm asking, why is Xerxe not here? Why do we have Chupamoting? Because I don't know how you feel, but I would say, okay, putting Xerxe in there, it's not like I would be completely happy, but I would say, okay, this might go wrong, but at least there's a considerable upside to this. Mm. I would just feel kind of more confident, kind of more optimistic if we had Xerxe there. Even if you're not going to start him, just as an option to throw in there for 45 minutes or for 30 minutes, would feel much better to me. I don't know if you guys agree, but yeah, I would like that more than having Choupo-Moting as the only kind of actual striker to put in there.
Well, I'd like to think that we could line up Coman, Gnabry, Sané, and still have some serious firepower.
Mm.
Like, I don't see how you can have that front three and not figure out something that can make it work.
Well, the fact that all three of them have been playing frequently over the past week.
Well, I mean, and look at Gnabry, what Gnabry's doing with the German national team.
Mm.
So he can play a pseudo-striker type of position. But
yeah, he can, but, well, in that context, that's what he always does, kind of.
Right.
This is what Luke wants him to do and what he's probably preparing him for.
I guess my thing is, you know, we're not going to get a guy who's happy to sit behind Robert Lewandowski that is also good enough to sort of replace Robert Lewandowski. It is that it's a catch 22.
Yeah. I don't know, but I don't know. Kind of other teams can afford like three strikers, right? There are definitely teams who have a better third striker than our second, or they have been at least.
Yeah, but I mean, like, if Tottenham don't have Harry Kane, right, they're still hurting. Like, Son can play sort of as a striker, but it's not nearly the same. If Dortmund don't have Erling Haaland, we saw how bad that hurts them. I mean, it's just, it's one of those. But it's extra worse. I mean, it's extra bad for Bayern simply because Robert Lewandowski literally is never injured, except now he is.
Didn't I write something about this like 5 years ago?
Well, I think I was about to say this is the same conversation that Bayern fans have been having since basically Mario Mandzukic left. And then Sandro Wagner came in and it was like, okay, we got someone. And then he immediately left. So it's the unforeseen downside of having the best striker in the world on your team is that when you don't have him, you have maybe the worst striker in the world on your team. So
I guess then that kind of comes down to don't just have one individual setup and go from there.
Well,
play with two strikers sometimes. Like, give people the opportunity.
I think, and I don't know why I'm defending the Bayern board so much, but I think the plan was, okay, we've got Fiete Arp, who's the long-term Lewandowski replacement. Okay, he's a bust. We have Joshua Xerxes, who's the long-term Bayern replacement. And I can only assume he's a bust because he hasn't done anything at Parma. He wasn't doing anything for the second team, despite having, you know, a couple really good games last season. Hansi Flick didn't like him, so we brought in Xerxes. It's like, here's our future Lewandowski successor. Okay, he's not working out. And so that's two young guys that you would hope should be filling this gap that Lewandowski has left. And now all of a sudden they're not working out as well either. So I guess I just to speak in defense of the Bayern board a little bit, you have that there. Which kind of does lead me into the next question. Tim, what sort of impact do you think Lewandowski's absence could have on team morale? Right, you talked about earlier how he scored something like 50%, around 50% of Bayern's goals this season. Obviously, all of these guys are going into these huge games knowing that he's not going to be there. And in the past, although we like to think Bayern are mentally tough. There have been some times where that wasn't exactly the case. So what sort of impact do you think Lewandowski's absence will have on the team morale heading into these games?
When you have guys like Thomas Müller, Joshua Kimmich, Leon Goretzka, Serge Gnabry, and also Kingsley Coman as well, you've got guys that are big game players. And you can also include Neuer in there. I feel like maybe it's like a slightly different situation with Neuer, because obviously he isn't directly involved. Well, I don't know, I guess like considering where he typically stands on the pitch, maybe he is slightly more involved than others. I think having those sort of guys, those very experienced, very determined guys, that's going to be crucial. I think these are guys that, when called upon, I think this is something I was like very critical of Kingsley Coman for, when he wasn't really doing what it is that I was kind of hoping that he would do. He would always show up in a big game. I'm thinking like against Juventus in his first season, against Leipzig in the cup final, against Paris in the Champions League final. When it matters, he can deliver. And also against Paris a few years ago, mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah.
I remember him like dropping Dani Alves like quite easily. I think having that sort of mentality, knowing that they have that handicap of, okay, we don't have Lewandowski, we need to do this ourselves, I think this is a fantastic opportunity for guys like Leroy Sané to kind of maybe potentially put to rest any arguments from earlier this season where people were saying, oh, is he actually worth the money? Like, man, he was going to be 100 million like the season before. What a waste that would have been. Because you can see just how much he wants to score, like just how much he's trying to impact play and influence how Bayern are moving forward. I think it's going to be really interesting to see what he can do. And also Serge Gnabry, whether he's playing through the middle or out wide, I think you can usually count on him to show up when it matters. I think these guys have done enough in their history to know that it isn't just going to be a matter of, okay, well, that one guy's missing, so we're never going to win this. Like, we've got no chance. I think they're all professionals, and I'd like to think that the mental aspect doesn't have as big of an impact as a layman potentially would assume it to. But yeah, this is going to be a huge game for guys like Müller, as you said. Like, he is going to be such a focal point, and also guys like Kimmich. I think I don't really think it's really up for debate. He will be the captain very, very soon. And I, for one, am so delighted. And this is the sort of game that he's going to thrive in. And if you have him partnered with Goretzka, that's going to, like, they bring out the best in each other. I've been thinking about, like, how if I was to be the manager setting up Bayern, would I keep Kimmich in midfield or would I move him to right back because of the impact, because of how well he played in the Champions League final? And obviously, if PSG are missing a number of their fullbacks, so potentially attacking down the flanks is the right way of doing that. Do you then move Kimmich to the right back, or do you keep him as the midfield? You probably keep him in the midfield. I think that's going to be like the fairly general agreement there. But there are players in this team that are capable of, you know, turning it on when it really matters. And I think right now it really matters.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point. We're really, in a lot of ways, going to see what a lot of these guys are made of, especially because, you know, no longer can we just turn to Robert Lewandowski to sort of make a goal out of nothing to do his job, but the, I guess, pressure is kind of dispersed across the pitch. Now, Sebastian, two of the big games that Lewandowski is going to be missing are those games against PSG, who Bayern obviously, you know, defeated in last year's Champions League final. So there's really a lot riding on the line here. And I think with Lewandowski in the squad, Bayern were definitely favorites, maybe slight, but definitely favorites heading into this match. But now, things may be a little bit more evened out. So I guess the question is, you know, how are you feeling heading into this? Or do you still think Bayern are the favorites? Do you think Bayern should see themselves as the favorites? Or does just now losing Lewandowski, Sebastian, sort of make them the underdog heading into these matches?
I think it's a bit weird because the international media seems to be somewhat more confident about Bayern than I was, or more than German fans were, because Bayern hasn't really looked perfect in the league, and people have kind of ignored that, probably haven't paid enough attention to the Bundesliga, really, because from the outside, from far away, it kind of looks fine, right? We're in first place. We're kind of where we should be, right? But yeah, we shouldn't forget that there have been difficult games this season already, and we only very recently got into proper form, I feel. That said, I don't think it is enough. So we are the underdogs. I think maybe it's kind of even now. I guess that's how I feel. So yeah, I hope we can really pull this off, but. It's just not like it was last year. We are not on that level. We weren't on that level overall, looking at this season. Even in our best games, we haven't been on that level. And yeah, well, without Lewandowski, we're definitely not on that same level. So yeah, it is not going to look like it looked last year, or well, last year kind of. So it's not like 1 year ago, but you know what I mean. It's definitely last year, but yeah, and I think we're still have the better chance. We should still be the favorites here, but it's really not much. It's really really close now, I feel, and I think not having Lewandowski could also be a mental issue, I suppose, because of course everybody on this team knows he's the guy who's scoring most of the goals. This could be a problem for some players. This could also mean a lot of pressure for the guys we expect to score those goals now. I think we also need to keep that in mind. I think it would perfectly work when if we had played the system we are going to play now for like half a year or so. That doesn't necessarily mean that we all trust that, everybody is confident about that, and so on. This is also just a very big issue, I think. And I really hope this team has grown so much, and yeah, still remembers last season very well, so they feel confident enough. I really hope they do, but I'm not perfectly sure if they are like 100% there where I would want them in terms of confidence.
Yeah, I think that's probably about how everyone feels. You hope that these players are ready for, everybody's ready to step up. I'm really, really looking forward to seeing how Leroy Sané plays over the next few weeks. Just, you know, speaking personally, I think heading into the international break, he had a great run of games. He just seems to be on the cusp of breaking forward, taking that next step, and really being a star of this team. And man, this is a huge opportunity for him to do something just like that. But Saturday against RB Leipzig, I guess, will be the first kind of glance we see to how this Bayern team is going to look over the next month. Knowing Robert Lewandowski, I wouldn't be surprised to see him come back even a little bit sooner than the 4 weeks, given, you know, just how fit he truly is. But if we can get past the Leipzig and the PSG hurdle, I'm really confident that the season can stay on track. One final question before we wrap things up, and I'll go to you for this one, Tim, because Sebastian's kind of already given his thoughts on this. But if Robert Lewandowski rides out his month-long injury and comes back in the timeline that's expected, he'll have 3 Bundesliga games left to equal or surpass Gerd Müller's 40-goal record. So 3 games to score at least 5 goals. Do you think he can do it?
Yeah. I think he plays best when he's angry, and he'll probably be very angry. If things have gone south, then he will probably be very angry and will be taking out as much of his frustration on the poor people that he will be facing. I reckon he could do it. I think I'm kind of in the same boat as Sebastian. As if he matches it, fantastic. If he exceeds it, then, you know, that's a bit of Bundesliga history that would be nice to kind of keep alive for just a bit longer. But if he beats it, and then, you know, that's fine too. Yeah, I reckon if anybody could, it would probably be him.
I mean, on the flip side, you got to say, if he beats it after missing 3-4 games out with injury as well, that would be pretty impressive as well. But I think 40 goals even would be nice. Would be probably deserved, especially if he can do it after the injury. But yeah, but we'll see, and we'll see how Bayern Munich is going to look on Saturday when they go up to face RB Leipzig. We'll have our first glance at what this team's going to look like heading in, you know, to the PSG matches, and yeah, hopefully the next time we talk, it's all going to be positive. But that is all the time that we have for this episode. If you've enjoyed listening, or if you're a regular fan of the podcast and you haven't done this already, please do us a favor and leave us a 5-star review. We'd greatly appreciate that. If you want to get in touch with us, there are a few ways that you can do that. You can email us at superbayernpod@gmail.com, or you can simply follow us on Twitter at superbayernpod. Keep up to date with us there and get in touch with us there. All of our episodes can be found on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts. We're probably going to be there. Thank you for listening. Go out and tell all your friends, and we'll talk to you next time.